The Alchemy of Tattooing, Wisdoms of Ancestor Tattoo, where we explore and revive the ancient understandings and methods of tattooing for transformation, creation, and shifting into a higher vibration through processes so effective that it seems like magic. Or is it indeed the true definition of magic? The Alchemy of Tattooing. This is part two of Intuition and Divination. If you haven't listened to part one yet, please do, and then come back to this one to continue. State-based indoctrination, conditioning and programming purposefully steers us away from our connections to intuition and the raising of our frequency. A huge part of growing and strengthening our intuition is eliminating those things that buffer and diminish our connection to our intuition. It's not just proactively practicing intuitive skills, but also recognizing what stifles those skills and getting them out of our lives and environment. We are in a climate of what we could call war on our intuition, or a war on our consciousness. And there are a lot of ways we are being conditioned to ignore and not take notice of our intuition. We are certainly not encouraged to grow or enhance this ability. The ancients and our ancestors were highly tuned into their intuition. Nowadays, we barely notice it, and we barely notice it at all, and fully rely on logical, evidence-based guidance. There are many ways we can really hone in on our intuition and grow it into a reliable sense that guides us spiritually and physically. In order to grow and expand our intuition, we need to begin to eliminate and distance ourselves from the elements in society that block our intuition. I mean, there are so many ways the society we live in today diminishes our recognition of our intuition, from our schooling and education system, and just through life when we've been told these intuitive premonition type feelings aren't real, and they're just our imagination, and there's no link or synchronicity with what's happening when we experience these feelings. There are many ways to enhance and nurture our intuition and really grow it into a powerful sense and ability that we can trust and take guidance from. It would be too long to go into them all here on a podcast, but the course that's coming out soon will have exercises and practices that will enhance our intuitive abilities. But I can tell you about one ritual everyone can do that will begin the awakening of intuition by eliminating one of the biggest intuition blockers we have in society at the moment. One of the first rituals everyone should perform, and in this day and age, one of the most important, to really free your mind, to really open yourself up to the deeper knowing and the inner technologies you possess. This ritual will initiate a great awakening within yourself and strengthen your perceptions and awareness of your intuition, your intention, and your inner technology of self-divination. Some of you, or many of you listening to this, may have already performed this ritual and are aware of what can happen once done and embraced, and you have gone through the process of re-engaging with your own mind, your own heart, your own spirit, your own discernment, your own powers, and your ability to connect with your higher consciousness. You would have felt the fear fall away, the programming dissolve. You would have felt your own objective opinions, healthy judgments, and your ability to see through deceptions, lies, and falseness return. You would have experienced the veil being lifted and the ability to see truth. There are several rituals and practices that can enhance your intuition, your ability to use intention to manifest and tap into your own divination tools. And I'll go into these deeper in my courses. But right now, this one single ritual will be a huge step to the awakening process and prepares you for everything that comes next. This ritual does require a small amount of physical action and can be performed in your lounge room or your bedroom. Wherever this ritual needs to take place, you'll know. If you're at home now, you can perform this ritual immediately. In fact, I highly recommend you do. There is no more time to avoid this. There's no preparation required to perform this ritual. If you're not at home, then you can do this as soon as you walk in the house. Go straight to your lounge or bedroom or wherever you need to go and take immediate action. Perform this ritual with a sense of self-empowerment and joy in the knowledge you are setting yourself free, and your life will change from this moment on, because it will. And you'll never turn back once you see what's on the other side. So here are your instructions. Stand in the room the ritual needs to be performed in. Look around the room and locate your television. Walk towards it and unplug it from the wall. Pick it up and throw it out. Throw it outside. If you have the space, actually throw it onto the ground so that it breaks and shatters. If you have the room outside and the inclination, smash it up. Take a hammer to it. Destroy it. If you don't, then make sure you dispose of it responsibly. Don't give it to anyone else. Don't sell it to anyone else. Don't leave it out on the street for someone else to take. We don't want this curse to be passed on to anyone else. Properly dispose of it. Now, once this curse has been lifted, you can now embrace what comes next. Over the coming days, weeks, and months, you will feel the sense of fear you were holding slowly or quickly disappear. You will feel your own thoughts and objective insights become more prevalent and potent. You will feel a sense of self-return and your own creative abilities expand. You will find yourself becoming more aware of deception, and you will be more cognitive in seeing hidden truths. Your intuition will grow 1,000-fold, and you will become more psychically active. In general, you will be happier. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you understand the detrimental effects television and media have on us and society. Not only is it a brainwashing device, but also a massive distraction, distracting you from your own life and your own connection to yourself. I remember listening to Alan Watt about how and why the TV was so desperately introduced into everyone's home. And this started back in the 50s and 60s during a time when the working class families weren't allowed any credit or bank loans without collateral. Yet the government mandated that every household in Britain must have a television set. And out of all the things the people actually really needed, they made one exception and allowed credit companies to come into being. That could go around all the houses and collect 5 shillings to pay off a television. The government wanted a TV in every home. Why would the government have such an interest in this? Why would they be so invested in making sure everyone had a TV? Anyway, he was saying that when he was a kid, and this was all when this was happening, that every weekend he would be taken by his parents to the local park, where dozens and dozens of other couples and their families would congregate. This park was in a valley, and there would be 1,000 or 1,500 couples all gathered along the grass in the valley. And that's where everything was discussed. Local politics, national politics, ideas and concepts, everyone mingled with everyone else. That system had been going on for hundreds of years. People communicated thoughts, feelings, real feelings, things were that really mattered to them and their communities. Talking to each other, conversation. When the TV came in, within about a month, he would go down to that park every weekend, and no one, absolutely no one, was there. It literally, overnight, killed off the socialization and interaction between people and tradition and the exchanged viewpoints. It stopped them giving each other news, helping each other out, who was sick, who was in need. Everyone helped each other out. And from then on, you could pass, you know, rows and rows and rows of houses, and all you saw at night was the flickering of that bluish light in the windows. And that was the end of real communities. It happened in a matter of about a month. Then you couple this with the entertainment assault the programs on TV project at you through drama or emotional sequences, not logical factual sequences, but pushing points across in an emotional way, which register and fix in the mind. When you're being downloaded with fiction, your guard is down. Your brain isn't in the objective state as it would be in a debate or a lecture. You're actually in an alpha state. You're being completely downloaded with new ideas and concepts of what they want you to believe. There's a flicker rate on the TV that is timed to a certain number of cycles per second, and it actually just meets with the brain patterns for an alpha state. We go into a deep alpha state. We are, in fact, hypnotized. There is a whole variety of flicker rates or frequencies they can use, but they choose this particular flicker rate. It's not essential. It was done for a purpose. They could use any of the others, but they use this one. It is meant to be hypnotic. It was meant to be used as a tool of propaganda and indoctrination through the guise of entertainment, through drama, and through the news. This is programming. Which program are you watching? Which program are you receiving? And they're constantly being updated. New updates targeting new ways of thinking and seeing things. All they have to do is give new updates every so often, and you can change an entire country or a nation or a block of nations. They're all getting the same downloads or upgrades at the same time. But it's all implanted subconsciously in the mind, and those implants will become their opinions, and they will never know how they arrived at them. They won't remember it's from this particular program or that particular newsreel. Everyone is being programmed with the same issues and then the same conclusions or answers. You can actually tell if someone is a TV watcher by their understanding of things. You can ask them a few questions. If they give you the standard television answers, then you know they have a programmed sense of understanding and that their conclusions are not actually derived from their own discernment and logical knowledge or indeed their intuition. If you see a spark of their own opinion coming in, fantastic. Brzezinski, who was the national security advisor to the presidents all through the 70s and 80s, said that the public will shortly not be able to think or reason for themselves. And he was meaning that by the form of information that was given to them, the type, the formulas, such as used through television. And eventually they will expect the media to do all their thinking and reasoning for them. Well, that's happening today. That's why people today can't think outside of the programming from television. Television will kill your intuition. Bill Hicks said, TV is like taking a can of black spray paint to your third eye. This is about responsibility, being responsible for ourselves. In regards to intention and our intuition, our ownership of our intention and intuition. The question isn't whether or not we make choices in life. The question is whether or not we are the one making those choices. Responsibility is your ability to exercise control over your life, and this is based on the responsibility you take for it. There isn't any justification for human authority. A man or woman cannot give away their personal responsibility. We are all personally responsible. By putting someone in charge, you can't give away your power to them. No matter what it is, you are responsible for your actions. Even if you're told to do it, it is you who chose to do it. They didn't do it, you did. It is your responsibility to choose to do it or not. This is about personal responsibility. Whatever system you live in or authority you live under, that doesn't mean you know, you shirk your responsibility and blame another when things don't go right. We need to take personal responsibility and not just blindly accept whatever is planned for us. We must remind ourselves that we rule ourselves. Every individual owns themselves. They own their body, they own their thoughts and their minds, and they own their actions, and they are accountable for their actions. We cannot give that away. We cannot give away our accountability or responsibility to another person. That will always end, that'll always lead to projecting in the end. Carl Jung talked about the God image, and that what humans do, instead of recognizing the divinity within themselves, the spark of the divine within themselves, they project that onto other men or women. And when they do that, they become possessed unconsciously in a way, and susceptible to psychic manipulation. So we can see this extensively in the world today, where everyone has become so collectively irresponsible, personally irresponsible, that they can't think for themselves. They can't think critically for themselves. On average, not saying everyone, but when you look around, people are told what they think. They get everything that they believe from the media because they have given up on their own personal responsibility and accountability. Everyone has become so reliant on an outside force to make the decisions for them and come up with solutions for things. These forces are entities like government and media and the cult of medics. And fear is the tactic in most cases. Keep everyone in a state of fear. It's like a protocol of be in fear and wait for your orders. And so many people have just accepted this way as a safe way for them. They don't want the responsibility of making decisions. They don't want the responsibility to research themselves and make informed decisions. People have been trained to wait and accept and comply to outside authority-based decision-making. When you take responsibility, then you take control of the intention behind it. When we give others our responsibility, then they have the control of the intention behind it. There are many things in our society today blocking our intuitive abilities. So we really need to take responsibility of nurturing and growing our intuitive powers. You know, really taking notice of what's going on subtly in the background. We are very much accustomed to pretty much living in our left brain. The left part of our brain is the part of our mind where you analyze, you define, have language to describe things, you make things meaningful, you categorize. And those things actually, after you define them, they often turn into rules and belief systems, which kind of get calcified. So then we identify with that kind of thinking. We need proof. We need it to be logical. So we get all cluttered up and with these things, and we need to clear that clutter. All the fixations and beliefs and fears and habits, addictions, and all that stuff. Emotional baggage needs emptying. Our bodies are made up of energy. When you're experiencing an intense emotion, what's really going on a quantum level in your body is you're experiencing a certain vibrational frequency. Every emotion has its own frequency. Every emotion has its own vibration. Anger is a different frequency than sadness, and sadness is different from feeling loss. They're all different. Now, when you're feeling an emotion that's powerful enough, sometimes it can be too powerful. Some of that energy becomes trapped in the body. When the bully moves away or the breakup is finalized, you're still carrying some of that baggage with you. So there are blockages. Now, we want flow, flow with no blockages. The way intuition tends to get clouded the most is if we are in our left brain hemisphere, our analytical mind, and particularly if we go into fear. It's been shown that if you send energy towards your DNA and it's positive energy, the DNA uncoils and there's more information transfer when the energy is being sent is of a positive nature. The DNA uncoils, which gives access to more information being transferred. If you send fear-based emotions, and that's anything like anger or cynicism or bitterness or confusion, if you send that to the DNA coil tightens up, so less information transfer. Intuition can be blocked by self-consciousness or pressure or efforting, an overactive mind. You know, quiet down and open up the feeling center. Detect it. Connecting to intuition is engaging in the awareness of it. The more you turn the volume up on your intuition and the volume down on your thinking mind, the more powerful your intuition becomes. You know, nature and the universe are communicating to us all the time. But can we hear it? Can we listen through? Can we listen to it through our own noise, our own cacophony of thoughts and fear and confusion, self-chatter? The universe has a certain volume and it doesn't turn itself up or down. We have to turn our volume down to hear it. Moving out of the fear, out of the confusion, out of the chatter, the self-doubt, you know, the dialogue we have constantly in our head. And that's by taking responsibility. Only then are we going to hear the universe. Only then will we have the capability of listening. You may have even noticed that in the moments you have an epiphany or an understanding occurs or an intuitive realization, that this happens in that in-between moment of noise and chatter in your head. So when you're working intuitively, we are clearing our head, clearing everything out and tapping into what needs to come through for that person. Connecting with that person and what information comes through for the creation of the design, it's already there. You know, we just need to hear it. But not only listening, like I mentioned before, intuitive information comes in many ways and is sometimes hard to describe. You know, taking notice, am I hearing a thought? Am I feeling a vision? Am I seeing a feeling? Am I thinking a sound? And taking notice of the first things that come, the first information. This is where it sits. This is what it is. No questioning, no analyzing, no doubting, no further thoughts or story. When we do that, we start adding our own chatter to it and we go off track. What comes first is what it is. It doesn't need any more. What symbols, ideas, and emotions are noticed? How do you feel intuition? How do you notice it? How does it come through for you? And, you know, when do you know it's intuition? What happens? Is it always the same? Are there patterns? Do you have waking epiphanies? Do you experience intuitive dream time? Does a vision appear, or is it a feeling in your body? Really taking the time to sit with these things and tap into them and find your way of noticing and understanding your intuition. There are ways of enhancing our intuitive abilities, and one of them is divination. Whether it's cards, tarot, runes, ogham, bones, stones, even scrying, whatever form of divination you do will without a doubt assist in powerfully enhancing your intuition. They go hand in hand, and our ancestors and ancients knew divinatory schools worked in keeping our intuition a powerful ability. For me, divination isn't just about seeking knowledge of the future. Tools of divination have multiple layers of guidance. The esoteric knowledge and the archetypical connections present in these tools guide and assist us in seeing aspects of ourselves and situations happening with us and around us in other lights. They trigger us to ask questions we hadn't thought of. They encourage us to see things in ways we may never have conceived. We are subconsciously and higher consciously stimulated into alternative understandings by the images and symbols presented in front of us. Alternative patterns of thinking and understanding are activated. Alternative questions are brought into concept, leading us to find alternative answers and perspectives. These tools educate ourselves about ourselves. If we are encouraged to look at ourselves and perceive our inner workings in different ways, and we are activating unrealized pathways within our consciousness, we are expanding the understanding of ourselves. We are activating lost aspects of ourselves. We are igniting new passions. We are awakening sleeping opportunities. We are triggering dormant abilities. We are accessing forgotten knowledge through our ancestral bloodlines and through our soul's journey. These tools are our own psychotherapist, asking the questions only we can answer, helping us access the wisdom we hold within us, activating our inner knowing. We know, we just have to access it. These tools assist in opening pathways to access this, to access ourselves. We get used to seeing things in one way. We create a pattern of only one way of looking at things because it's easy and it's what we're used to. Imagine using the same way of looking at things over and over. That pathway becomes a highway where all your thought patterns travel down. The same road, the same destination. Imagine being offered alternative routes, side roads off that highway. Imagine taking one of them. The view would be different, the direction is different, and so the destination may be different. Even if the destination is the same, you will have seen and learnt and discovered new things on the way that may help change or assist in the outcome. There's a reason the ancients used this. This is ancient technology. This is psychotechnology, an application of technology for psychological purposes, as personal growth or behavior change. The practice and processes of divinatory skills awaken our intuition and stimulates the raising of consciousness. This work triggers the evolution of human consciousness and opens the portal to the divine and cosmic knowledge. I use divination before or even during a tattoo session. This can be really helpful in opening up new perspectives and understandings around the purpose of the tattoo. It can give clarity and information that may not have come to mind otherwise. It can give you guidance into what symbols or elements and meaningful representations need to be contained within the tattoo. This giving it more resonance with the receiver and more relevant meaning and purpose. Sometimes the client may not be fully or consciously aware of why they have felt pulled to get tattooed, or they may know on the surface level but not quite aware of the depths behind why they are really here to receive it. There are so many life circumstances and emotional journeys that bring someone on the path of being tattooed. I've seen how doing a reading or calling on some form of divination provides insights and opens doorways to realizations that one may not have been aware of. Like, sometimes a reading has helped the client realize some of the deeper meanings and reasons they are there receiving their tattoo. what brought them there to this moment and why. Through the divination and what comes out, I've seen so many times the epiphany moment occur for them. Or they'll say, wow, that really resonates with what's going on right now. Or they see connections and deeper understandings present or needed in the purpose of wearing the tattoo. Divination also brings forth the kinds of energies that will assist in the process of the tattoo. What can be incorporated into the ceremony around the receiving of the tattoo and the preparation. I found it so insightful in bringing in the energies, intentions, and important information to assist in the whole tattoo creation, the process and the purpose. When the divination brings forth information and clarity for the client, they feel more connected and more in resonance with the tattoo and what it represents. Divination was used by the ancients to derive what was needed and what purposes were at play. It was used to gain clarity around what was to be tattooed. It was part of the process for many. Divination helps you understand and grow a language of symbolism. And this language is derived from the ancients. Divination helps with individuation and self-realization. If we look at the tarot uses composite images, iconic representations, pictures. All of these have a very deep effect on the unconscious mind. It's a symbolically rich archive. Michael Tesarian dedicated much of his life to researching and resurrecting the true and original understandings and knowledge around the tarot. There are so many depths and layers involved, and much of its understandings have been lost or corrupted in a lot of the more modern-day contemporary versions of the tarot. He's a really good source in understanding the more esoteric meanings hidden in the tarot. Tarot comes from the mother goddess Tarut, which was pronounced with a soft H at the end, which is Taruth, giving us the English word truth. The word tarot and the word truth are the same. The tarot is an archive from ancient times, and it has incredible numerical, astrological, theological, and symbolic iconic mysteries attached to it. The tarot relates to many layers and understandings of the inner and outer worlds, and many magical mysteries. It has a connection to the Egyptian, Hebrew, Celtic, and English magical alphabets. There's links to the Kabbalistic Tree of Life and the chakra system. It holds understandings of the alchemical process and to sacred numerology. There's a connection with the tarot and the orbit of the luminaries and the planets. It connects to the precession of the equinoxes and to the process of human individuation. It connects to the yearly maturation of the human being. The tarot connects to the personality types and the zodiac. It connects to the periodic table of elements along with many other exoteric and esoteric phenomena. I use the tarot as one of my divination tools, but I also use the ogham as one of my main divination tools. The ogham was used by the druids for divination and magical purposes. They are sticks of wood from specifically different trees with symbols carved into them. The levels and layers of knowledge and meanings associated with the ogham are many and incredibly in-depth. Ogham was named after Ogma, the Celtic god of eloquence and literacy. Ogma was one of the Tuatha De Danann, which translates to the tribe of Danu, or the tribe of the gods, who were a tribe of highly advanced peoples with high technology who came to inhabit Ireland thousands of years ago from their sinking lands in the west, Phaleas, Gorius, Murius, and Phineas, where they taught their skills in the sciences, architecture, the arts, and magic. They brought with them the skills and knowledge of occult lore, sorcery, druidic arts, magical skills, secret knowledge, and the diabolic arts. They brought music and poetry and language. Their name can also be translated to the artistic people. So having some of my ancestry coming from there, I really resonated with learning and working with the Ogham as a divinatory tool and a written language. I really connected to the understandings of the Ogham. Divination gives you the ability to have a better internal dialogue with yourself. It helps you find out what parts of your thinking are programmed, what parts programming you have received from the outside world and influences around you. It helps you sift through the lies, not only the ones you've received externally, but also the ones you tell yourself. And by coming to that inner truth, you can see things more clearly, and then you can actually connect to what your purpose is. Now, throughout this podcast, I've literally quoted some of the words and discussions from a few other guys, Josh Reed, Alan Watt, Michael Tesarian, and that's because what they've said really resonates to this subject, and I think that they have explained some of these concepts really eloquently and concisely, so check them out as well. Acknowledging and using your intuition in our work and becoming more of an intuitive artist brings forth so much more depth and meaning and resonance, more purpose and understanding. Whether we are creating and designing our tattoos intuitively and through divination beforehand or at the time of tattooing, we are bringing in profound energies, perspectives and universal assistance. We are connecting to the divine and bringing this into the design. It's truly magical.